Welcome to the C3 Church Watson podcast. Our vision is to connect you to Jesus, grow you as a disciple, and help you serve his purpose. We hope you are blessed by this week's message.
Great. Okay, we are in a new series today, and it's a study on the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter has three chapters. So guess how long this series is going for? Four weeks. No, Peter. It's going for 3 weeks. Let's read. 2 Peter 1. This letter is from Simon Peter, a slave and apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm writing to you who share the same precious faith we have. That's us. This faith was given to you because of the justice and fairness of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus, our Lord. That's what happens, right? As you grow in our knowledge of God, more grace. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In other words, they're not the boss of you, you're the boss of them. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you are really among those God has called and chosen. Do these things, and you'll never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. What a great passage of Scripture. That's what we're looking at today. Father, I thank you for your word. It is true. It is powerful. It is active. And God, I surrender to you my whole everything. Do what you will today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Peter was written by guess who? Peter. Well done. It was contested. Apparently it was contested that he actually wrote it, but it was written quite differently to 1 Peter. But it is written by him. It was written not long before he was martyred. He talks in the chapter, in the book, about, not in this chapter, but further on, he talks about God having revealed to him that he's going to be martyred soon. Who's believing for that? Closing my ears, God. Paul wrote the book to address concerns about the churches in Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey, because he felt they were vulnerable to some false teachers who were trying to influence the church in that area. What were the false teachers saying? We're going to hear more of that in the coming weeks, in week two and week three. But here's a little snapshot. They were saying that freedom in Christ means sexual immorality is okay. Sleep with whoever you want. Sound familiar? God bless you, Nathan Oliver, as you talk about that next week. They were also saying They were making a mockery of the second coming of Christ as if it wasn't going to happen. That's chapter 3. God bless you, Tim Taylor, as you talk about that the following week. Peter's message through this book to the churches in the area was this: stay the course. And I think that message is relevant to us today as well. Stay the course. The world we live in would like to make us think that what we believe is no longer relevant. Oh, that was so 2,000 years ago. It wasn't. God is not old-fashioned. Surely God doesn't care who I sleep with. Actually, he does. Wait till you get married. Don't do it until you get married. Stay the course. Hold on to unforgiveness. Treat people badly. Don't worry about integrity and character. No, that's not okay. The Bible tells us not to do that. Stay the course. Dabble in a little porn on the side, it won't matter. Don't do it. It will mess you up. It will mess up your future relationships. Stay the course. Just follow my human cravings. Do whatever feels good. Overindulge in whatever I want to do at the time. It could be alcohol, it could be shopping, gossiping, overeating, whatever my humanity desires. No. Activate self-control and stay the course. That's what Peter's saying. You know, I'm doing an audit in my life right now and it's very painful. And it's all about how much time I spend looking at this. Because when you're watching something, it automatically goes to the next show. Did you know that? You have to actually stop it. I'm doing an audit about how much of my life is slipping away as I stare at a screen. Romans 12:2 says this: do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. I believe when you sow something, I don't know because I don't do it, that you can get a pattern and you can put, Nerida's laughing at me, and you can put the material over it and the pattern over it and then you can cut it out, is that right? And you sew it all together. Well, the world has a pattern. This is how to live. Peter's saying, guys, don't stick to that pattern. Stay the course. Do it the way God says. So relevant for us today, because no matter what you see in your day-to-day living or hear or feel as you walk through each day on this earth, the message of salvation hasn't changed and it won't change. It will not change. It is timeless and it is relevant and it will always be relevant. Jesus is the way, just one, the truth, just one, and the life. He is. And the love of God is the most powerful force in the universe, and his arms are open wide and he wants everyone to come to him. And at the end, this is what we will be saying. Revelation 11:15, it says, the world has now become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. That's how it ends. That's where we're heading. That's what's going to happen. So, are you staying the course? Is the pattern that you're living to his pattern? The pattern that we find in here? Or is it the pattern of the world? Let's be people who stay the course. Now, we're going to talk about that was just my intro. We're talking about the main message of chapter 1. The main message of chapter 1 of 2 Peter is spiritual maturity. Peter's goal in writing the letter was to warn the church and to encourage them in their growth. His goal was to help them become more spiritually mature. And you know, that's God's goal for us too. And I want to be more spiritually mature. Anyone else in the room wanted to do that? Yeah. Ephesians 4, we don't want to be like this, because if we don't become spiritually mature, we will be immature. Ephesians 4 says, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We'll not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, speaking the truth in love, growing in every way more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. As we become more spiritually mature, that scripture says, we're growing more like Jesus, and we're not up and down, up and down, this way and that way. Maybe they're right, maybe they're not. We're discerning. I like to say this quite regularly. I want to have a different set of problems this year to the ones I had last year, so that I'm not going around the same things over and over again. Anyone else? Peter wanted the church to understand that they would need to grow and mature to navigate what they were facing. We do too. We all need to be growing so that we can navigate this world. But he told them the problem, but he gave them the solution. And that's what God has given us as well. The good news was for them and for us that they had everything they needed to do it. Spiritual maturity is the goal. Growing up in God is what we want. We need to be mature, because it equips us for what's coming. But the good news is, you've been given everything you need. Read this scripture with me. By his divine power, God has given us just a few things. Nope. God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share in his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. This passage of scripture is one that makes me want to jump up and down and get excited and say to people, did you see that? Did you read what that said? You have been given everything you need to live a godly life. He's given you great and precious promises so that you can live a godly life. That means that the thing that you're tempted to think is too big for you is not, because you have his great and precious promises. And the thing that you feel like you trip up on every second day, you don't have to trip up on it, because you have his great and precious promises in the Word of God. I get excited about that scripture. Can you tell? I do. Whenever I read it, I get somewhat excited. It means that through the gift of salvation, you get it all. You actually get God's DNA. If you look into what that means, it means you and I get God's DNA. That's pretty wild. Don't you think? And the meaning of that is to give birth, to produce, or to grow up. When Christ comes and makes his home in us, he transforms us into his likeness. And look, that's a journey. I know that. But the point is this. We have access to this from the moment of salvation. You don't have to be trapped or controlled by negative desires. You don't have to be trapped or controlled by ungodly urges, destructive patterns of behavior, addictions. You don't have to live a life of defeat. We are told by the world that we live in, be free. Do whatever feels good. But in fact, the outcome of just following our human desires is that we become more enslaved to them. And that we can no longer say no. And that's a yucky place to be, because it can lead to a death of our peace, of our relationships, and of our soul. And we don't have to be controlled by our desires. Romans 8 says this: you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And verse 12, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. You and I can overcome self-defeating behaviours, addictions, brokenness, because we are partakers in his divine nature. Now, appropriating what we've been given is a huge part of the journey of salvation. It's huge. We invite Christ into our life, and then it's a journey, and sometimes you think, I've moved a millimetre. But you've moved. And sometimes you don't even move. But you know what the Bible says? Having done everything else, just stand. But I'm standing. I'm not going backwards. And then slowly, you know, slowly, we change. God changes us. And who feels encouraged when something that used to affect them doesn't affect them anymore? Yeah, that's so exciting. And that's because we've allowed his divine nature to come alive in us in a greater way. Like when I came back from sabbatical, that's where I've been a while ago. It was last year. That's so last year. A couple of times people have said to me, oh, that's different. And I said, yeah, that's different because I'm different. Why am I different? Because I allowed more of the divine nature access to my life and changed some things. Worked hard, because it's hard work. Don't let anyone tell you it's not hard work, it's hard work. Okay. We're given the divine nature straight away, but it can take time to grow into it. Just like the school uniform you're given when you go to kindy. Anyone else apart from me? You know, the sleeves are too long. But as you grow, you're going to keep growing? I'm going to keep growing. But there's more to spiritual maturity than just, you know, me feeling good about allowing God's divine nature more access to my life. There's more to it than that. Do you want to hear what the other part of it is? Good, because I'm going to tell you anyway. Let's look at what Peter says. He encourages the believers in those churches to take a hold of the following virtues. So I'm going to read them out. Yeah, there's a lot. They're big. Get ready. Give yourself a checkup. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. I love that right there. Make every effort to respond to God's promises. See, God gives us so much, but he says we need to make an effort to respond to it. To actually go, okay, God, you have given me this. Am I going to take a hold of it? Will I? Because that's where we have the choice. We have the choice to not, or we have the choice to yes. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. What a list, hey? Yeah. I fall short Did you notice that that list starts with faith? It starts with faith because that's the starting point. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because you have to believe that he exists. So it starts with faith. But did you notice where it ends? Very good. It ends with love. Because do you know what the true mark of spiritual maturity is? It's love. It isn't accidental, in my opinion, that the disciple whom Jesus asked, "Do you love me? Do you love me?" He said it three times in John 21. "Do you love me?" He fills his letter with multiple references to love, because love is the expression that Christ is alive in a believer. They will know we are Christians by our love. Jesus said to Peter, "Do you love me?" "Yes, God, I love you." "Then feed my sheep." See how that's vertical? "Yes, God, I love you." And I do. I love you, God. "You know I love you." That's what Peter said. "You know I love you." And if he said that to me, I'd say, "Yes, you know I love you." And that vertical relationship with God is so important. And I would not be on this earth if I didn't have it. But this relationship means that there is a horizontal relationship as well that is very important, and it is loving other people. Loving other people. If you love me, you will love them. If you love me, you will care about them. If you love me, you will treat them well. If you love me, it's the ultimate sign of spiritual maturity, is love. We know a guy in another country who has, he's just narrowed his life so much, three marriages later, no family around him, got rid of them all, and it's just him and his computer and his chair and his desk. And he sits on the computer and he is the holiness police. And all he does is tell people all the things that they do wrong. And he's missed the point of Christianity, because he thinks he's so right. He's missed the point. 1 Corinthians... Actually, let's read 1 Peter. Sorry, Eddie. "In your godliness, brotherly affection, in your brotherly affection, develop Christian love. That is learning to unselfishly seek the best for others and to do things for their benefit." That's the definition the Bible has. Unselfishly seeking the best for others and doing things for their benefit. Man, I fall short. I fall short in unselfishly seeking the best for my husband, in doing things for his benefit. But the more spiritually mature I become, the more often I will be that way. I have some growing to do. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says this: "Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." So my question to you, my last question to you today is, how is your love life? And I'm talking totally platonically. How is your love life? How are you going at becoming more loving? It's hard at times. It's a good thing to think about. You know, the greatest love, the Bible tells us, is someone laying down their life for another person. And Jesus did that for us. He came to earth and he died on a cross so that we could be in relationship with him. And if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to come into your life and to be your Lord and your Saviour, or you've never accepted that love, or you've walked with him in the past but you need to reconnect, recommit your life, say, I'm coming back to you, Jesus. I want to put you in the right place, in first place. Then this part of the service is for you. Because in a moment, we're going to pray a prayer together. We're going to pray it out loud. And we ask you to join in with us in praying that prayer. And then while everyone has their eyes closed, I'm going to ask you to do something really brave, and that's put your hand up. Just to let us know that that's what you want to do today. That you've made that decision, that you're in, because one of our team wants to come and meet with you after the service, give you a Bible, pray for you and help you on your journey. So if you could all close your eyes, I'd appreciate that. And I'd ask you to pray this prayer all together. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for my sin. I ask you to come into my heart, to forgive me. I ask you to be my Lord and my guide for the rest of my days. Help me to follow you always.
Thanks for listening. We hope to see you in church again this weekend. To find out more about our church, find us online at c3churchwatson.com.